Welcome to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve, Senior Pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas. Now, here's Pastor Jeff.
Well, good morning and welcome to Real Truth for Today. I am sitting across the table from my wife, Debbie. She has been off the program for 2 weeks, three weeks, something like that.
Two or three due to illness.
Because she was sick and very sick.
Very sick. It was just like this crazy virus that has been going around locally where we are. I hope it's not going around anywhere else, because believe me, you don't want it. But it kind of is like a
fever cough.
So I ended up with bronchitis, and then I think whooping cough, actually. So I had to 3 shots, 2 antibiotics, 2 inhalers. It's been something.
Yeah. Well, you're an Aggie, so you get whooping cough.
Being cough. That's right. Giggle.
Well, good. We're glad to have you. You're always a popular guest on Real Truth for Today.
Thank you, birthday boy.
Yeah, the birthday was yesterday.
Birthday was yesterday.
So now I've joined you in the
realm of 62.
In the swimming pool of 62.
Mm-hmm. So, do a few laps.
So the Beatles had that song, When I'm 64. So yes. I got two more years before I'm decrepit.
We can't sing that quite yet.
No. Okay, here is our topic for today. We're going to talk about waiting on the Lord, in the waiting room with God. Psalm 130 says this, I wait for the Lord, my soul does wait, and in his word do I hope. My soul waits for the Lord more than the watchman for the morning, indeed, more than the watchman for the morning. O Israel, hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is loving kindness, and with him is abundant redemption, and he will redeem Israel from all his iniquities. The waiting room with the Lord is a difficult place.
Well, and if we're just being brutally honest, life is just a series of waiting, right? It seems like we're always waiting on something. And waiting is not fun, particularly in this day and age where everything is so instant. You know, we were talking about it at the office yesterday. It's like TikTok and all these other social platforms, they teach you and program you to have a very short attention span because it's just blurts of things.
Right.
And, you know, our culture is just a microwave culture. We just want things really, really quickly. So as a rule, our society, we just don't wait well. And the reality is that life is just a series of different things that we're having to wait on. That's just all there is to it. I was writing down a couple of things this morning about and you can add to this, Jeff, if you think of anything else, but just things that we can have to wait for as a people. You have to wait for a spouse oftentimes, like you're wanting to be married and that just hasn't happened, so you're having to wait for that spouse, wait for a boyfriend, wait for a girlfriend, wait for a baby. You're wanting to have a child, excuse me, and that doesn't happen. Maybe you're in the middle of a testing situation and you're waiting for a diagnosis, or you're waiting for healing. You're waiting for a better job. Maybe you're a parent and you're waiting for a prodigal child to come back. Mm-hmm. And that's a really, really hard one. Maybe you have a horrible situation at work or a relationship with someone in your family or with a friend, and that relationship has just gone south and you're just kind of waiting for that situation to improve. And we're just constantly in a state of having to wait. That's just the reality of life.
Well, so when it says in Psalm 130, my soul waits for the Lord more than the watchman for the morning, indeed, more than the watchman for the morning. So the watchman is there on the wall, and he's looking out to see, make sure things are safe, to make sure nobody's coming to attack us or anything like that. So he's got a security role. And let's face it, most of the time, the watchmen don't have, there is no attack. It's not like you're getting attacked every day. So you have long stretches of time where there's nothing going on, and you're waiting for the morning when you can be off duty and go to sleep, because you're working when everybody's asleep. So the watchman is longing for the morning. He's waiting for the morning, and he's really watching the horizon to see that morning light come in. And that's how we're supposed to wait for the Lord, even more than the watchman waits for the morning. And so here's the good news. God works in the waiting room. Mm-hmm. So the waiting room, waiting time is not wasted time. if we keep our eyes on Jesus. It can feel like it's an eternity, you know, especially when you're sick.
Mm-hmm.
When you're physically sick or emotionally sick, you've lost a loved one and you're just in a, you're in the valley of the shadow of death emotionally, it can seem like an eternity, but it's not.
Right. Well, you know, you just think back on all the examples in the Bible of people who had to wait, and there were so many. You know, Abraham and Sarah had to wait so long to have Isaac. Jacob had to wait 14 years to get the wife that he truly, truly wanted, you know, and work for Laban. Well, not wait. He waited 7 to get the wife that he really wanted, but he had to work for Laban for 14
right.
to be able to clear his debt with him. The Israelites, you know, they were in captivity for 400 years. They're wandering in the desert for 40 years when they finally get out. Elijah, in his book, he's talking about waiting for rain. I mean, mm-hmm. there's just so many examples. Job and all that he went through. So many examples of people that had to wait, and some of them did it well,
mm-hmm.
and some of them didn't do it so well. When I think back to Abraham and Sarah, Sarah didn't do it so well because she just took matters into her own hands,
right.
and that was a disaster, which I have found to be true in my own life. Anytime I get ahead of the Lord and kind of take matters into my own hands, it never ends well. And the same was true with Sarah in her experience with Hagar. So this school of waiting is not necessarily a school that we want to be in. It's not a class that we want to take, but it is a prerequisite to a lot of things, and it is a requirement for a lot of things for us to be in this classroom called waiting.
Well, so it says, I wait for the Lord, my soul does wait, and in his word do I hope. So as we are waiting, we said waiting time is not wasted time if you're using that time to draw near to the Lord and find hope in his word. And so, you know, I think about Johnny Erickson Tada and her situation. And I had a prisoner email me or text send me a letter just the other day. I was reading it again yesterday as I responded to him. And he just said, all I want you to pray for is that God would kill me. That my life would just be over. It's horrible. Nobody cares about me. It was a very, very woe is
despairing.
Total despair. He'd been in prison for a crime that he committed. He readily admits that, but 17 years or something like that. No hope, and people aren't given to him. And it was a little like woe is me. And you know, there's a part of me that just says, hey, you know, I feel for you, but. You're focused on the wrong thing. And I told him about Johnny Erickson Tada. I said, you know, she broke her neck at 17, as a 17-year-old, very active, athletic girl, broke her neck and was told, hey, you're going to be a quadriplegic in a wheelchair for the rest of your life. Well, she is seeking the Lord for healing, as we all would. And she's going to meetings with Catherine Coleman, you know, these quote-unquote faith healers. Please, you know, I'm trusting God for healing. Well, that didn't come. That wasn't God's plan for her. And so she had to come to the place where she said, Lord, if I can't die, because she was praying for death, and she would ask her friends, slit my wrists, I won't even feel it, and just let me die. I can't live in a wheelchair. And the Lord never did that. So she said, okay, Lord, if I can't die, then show me how to live. And that was the prayer that God answered, to show her how to live as a quadriplegic. But she had to wait for the Lord, and she's still waiting for her deliverance, mm-hmm. so that she can, as she said in her own words, there is coming a day when I'm going to be able to take this wheelchair and throw it into hell and run and dance and jump in heaven with the Lord.
Well, and if we are truly seeking after the Lord, we know that his timing is perfect, and it's way better than our timing. I just think back in my own life to times that I was just fervently praying for a specific thing to happen, and I would pray and pray and pray, and it just never happened. And you look back and you're like, praise God that never happened. Praise the Lord that he did not answer that prayer the way I wanted him to answer
it. Yeah, he said no, or I got something better.
Right. And so it goes back to the whole trusting in the waiting, having faith in the waiting, knowing the unchangeable about God's character and his and who he is, so that you can rest in that, that God is a good God, that he loves you, that he has a plan for your life, a plan to prosper you, not to bring harm to you, but to prosper you. His timing is perfect. He's faithful. He's unchangeable. You know, you have to go back to those truths that you know. Whether you emotionally feel those truths or not is irrelevant. You have to go back to those things that you know that you know. Mm-hmm. And that is what can enable you to grow in the waiting and learn those things in the waiting that God is wanting you to learn. And I've said this so many times, Jeff, we've talked about this, where it's like, man, if I'm in that kind of situation, I want to learn what God wants me to learn the first time through. Right. I don't want to have to repeat this class again. I don't want to fail it the first time and have to be in remedial school going back through this whole thing again. Mm-hmm. So I want to be open to hear God's voice, to know what he's wanting to teach me, to know where he's leading me, and to learn to just faithfully wait on him.
Yeah, and the Lord puts us in those situations. It says in the book of Malachi that he sits as a refiner of silver. And that's what he does. He refines us. And the Bible says in Proverbs 25, take the dross away from the silver, and there comes out a vessel for the smith. And so how do you do that? Well, you heat the silver, and the impurities come to the top, and you can skim them off. And so God is doing that in your life and in my life. And so we want to cooperate with him, not fight him on that. You want to be soft clay in the hands of the master, not hard clay that the potter can't. You know, can't mold unless he puts lots and lots and lots of pressure on. So we want to go with the Lord, not fight the Lord. And I love what it says in Psalm 130, verse 7. You know, we're in Psalm 130 today. O Israel, hope in the Lord. Now, hope in the Lord, when the Bible uses hope, it's not a wish. It's a confident expectation that God is going to do what he said. So in his word do I hope. In his word, I have confident expectation that he is going to do what he promised. And he says, for with the Lord there is loving kindness. And God does love us. And he is kind to us. And in the waiting room, he doesn't leave us there by ourselves. He's there with us. As David said, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil because you are with me. And the God who loves us and the God who is the God of hope, he is with us. He's encouraging us to keep trusting him. He knows what he's doing. You know, Debbie, I was thinking of Joseph in the book of Genesis. He easily could have thrown in the towel and just said, well, God, you know, I've been serving you, and what do I get for it? I get sold into slavery. I get lied about by Potiphar's wife. I'm here in this dungeon. It's awful. I quit. I give up. You win, Lord. You know, I can't take anymore. But he didn't do that. He just said, okay, this is where the Lord has put me. I'm going to bloom where I'm planted. And the Bible says in the book of Psalms, the word of the Lord tested him. And in all those years that he was a slave and then he was a prisoner, God was testing him to see if he would be faithful. And Joseph passed the test.
Well, and I think one of the main things that we can learn in the midst of our waiting is just how to cry out to the Lord, how to just be transparent with him, to be honest with him, always in a respectful, reverent way, but to continue to cry out to him and know that he hears us, that he's right here with us, that he's a friend that sticks closer to a brother. And, you know, David in the Psalms did that all the time. You know, he's continually crying out to the Lord and crying out to the Lord. And I think that's an important thing that we can learn in the process of waiting, is how important it is to draw near to the Lord, not to back away from him out of frustration or anger, but to go to him and run to him and to ask him to make us very aware of his presence and what he's trying to teach us in those times.
Well, you're listening to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here along with my wife, Debbie. And we're talking about being in the waiting room with God, waiting on the Lord. As it says in Psalm 130, I wait for the Lord. My soul does wait. And in his word do I hope. I wait for the Lord. My soul waits for the Lord more than the watchman for the morning. Indeed, more than the watchman for the morning. We'll be right back.
The 2024 Ten Commandments Project Speech Challenge is a great way to teach children and youth between 7 and 17 to lead a life that honors God. Just have them write a 3 to 5 minute speech on the topic, Why Are the Ten Commandments Important? Then use your cell phone or other means to record them reading the speech and submit it by June 30th. Find out all the details and upload your recording at afr.net/10commandments. That's afr.net/10commandments.
This is Real Truth for Today. Podcasts of the program are available on the podcast page at afr.net. Now, back to Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to the program. Debbie is with me today. We're talking about being in the waiting room with God. How do you wait on the Lord? It's one of those things that every one of us has to deal with in the Christian life. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and let your heart take courage. David said, yes, wait for the Lord. And the Lord's timing and our timing are not the same. His ways are not our ways. And it's a good thing because God is a lot smarter than you and I are, and he does things that we don't understand. He works in ways we can't see. You know, I always think about this WWJD, what would Jesus do? And we're supposed to figure out what Jesus would do, and then we would do it. Well, guess what? You're not going to know what Jesus would do because his ways are not your ways. And the Lord works in ways that don't make sense to us, but they don't have to. They just need to make sense to him, and they work in his plan, and we just trust him. Our hope is in the Lord, that he knows what he's doing, and we can just say, all right, Lord, I'm going to trust you.
You know, I was thinking about that, Jeff, that you just started off with, and, you know, yes, as believers, we are constantly having to wait for things, but people in general have to wait. The difference is, as a believer, we have hope.
Right.
We have hope in the waiting. And I just think through some of the difficult situations that people have to go through in life, the difficult times of waiting that they have. And if they have no relationship with the Lord, I don't see how you get through those kind of things without becoming extremely bitter and just disillusioned and angry, because as believers, we have the hope of knowing, okay, hey, God works all things together for good. You know, he is here with us in the waiting. He has a master plan. He's sovereign over everything. I can trust his plan. We have that foundation of hope that the non-believer does not have.
We do. I was just thinking about this song by Christine Wirtz, and she sings some great songs, and one of my favorites, Debbie, you probably remember, I'm not a good singer, but I like to sing. Mm-hmm. And this song says, I've been through a fire that has deepened my desire to know the living God more and more. It hasn't been much fun, but the work that it has done in my life has been worth the hurt. You see, sometimes we need the hard times to bring us to our knees. Otherwise, we do as we please and never heed him. For he always knows what's best, and it's when we are distressed that we really come to know God as he is.
Mm, yeah. You know, I think back just a particular time in my own life that was such a struggle, and it was with a surgery that had gone bad and some complications that came about because of it. And as I look back on that, I would never want to go through it again because it just was not any fun at all. However, I would not trade it for the world in terms of what I learned about the Lord, what I learned about myself, how I grew to know that he is 100% dependable and reliable, that he can be trusted, that he is in control, that his sovereign plan is better than any plan I could possibly have for my own life. And so I learned so many things, but that doesn't mean I would want to go back and do it again, because I wouldn't.
No.
But in the midst of that, I think that goes to the point that in the midst of our waiting, we learn patience. And patience is not something you ever want to pray for, because inevitably when you're praying for it, God is just going to continue to bring those irritating situations into your life to help you, to help you learn patience. But waiting on the Lord is something that we all need to learn, and to not get ahead of Him and to truly be patient. And we've had times just in ministry where we've thought, man, we just want out of this particular situation. And fortunately, the Lord was very patient with us in that.
Right.
And we didn't step outside of His will. I can remember one time saying to you, it's like, you know, as much as we want out, as bad as this situation is, if we get outside of God's will for our life, we'll look back and this will seem like utopia compared to where we are, because we don't want to get outside of God's will for us, and we don't want to take matters into our own hands, because there is not a time in the Bible that you see that going well when someone takes matters into their own hands. And so we do, in the midst of all the waiting, that is God's classroom to help teach us about how to be patient and to wait on Him.
Well, you know, learning patience is important, and waiting on the Lord is important, because He's not going to do it our way. Mm-hmm. He's God. He's going to do it His way. And so we draw near to Him. Now, we always have to remind ourselves, what is the ultimate issue in the Christian life? It's one word, and that is faithfulness. That God has called us. It's required of stewards that a man be found faithful. Revelation 2:10, the Lord says, be faithful until death, and I will give you the crown of life. So here's a scenario. You know, we're waiting on the Lord for something. We're asking God for something. We're believing God for something, and it's something good. You know, lots of times we pray for something. Maybe it's a specific person to be our spouse or whatever. We're in love with this person, but that doesn't come about. Debbie, as you mentioned, we pray for a baby, and God doesn't open our womb, and so we don't understand, and we can get frustrated with the Lord and just say, well, then forget it. You know, I'm serving you, and this is how you're treating me, and so forget it. And we can try and throw in the towel. Don't do that. Be faithful until death. It's better to die in faith than to live in doubt. It's better to say, you know, you're sick and you're asking the Lord to heal you, and he is going to ultimately heal you as a believer. He's going to take you to heaven. As Paul said, the Lord will deliver me from every evil deed and bring me safely to His heavenly kingdom. To Him be the glory. He is going to do that, but He may do it in a way that's much better than what you're praying for. But that's okay. It's better to live in faith, to die in faith, than to live in doubt. Be faithful until death. Trust God all the way to your last breath, and the Lord will reward you for that. And you talk about being, you know, ultimately, what's our job here on earth? It's to be a witness. It's to shine and share. You talk about the ultimate shining and sharing is when you're dealing with tremendously difficult circumstances, and you're praising the Lord, and you're trusting the Lord, and you're waiting on the Lord. That speaks volume to an unbelieving world.
Well, and I think back to that verse in Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 that says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. So we don't have to have things figured out. We just need to, what the rest of the verse says, in all of your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make straight your paths. And so that is part of what we learn in the waiting, is to not trust in ourselves, but to trust in the Lord, and to develop that trust. Not that He's going to answer our prayer exactly the way that we're asking Him to, but to trust in His character and who He is, and that He has our best interest at heart. He sees the beginning to the end and all the in between. We don't see that. We just see the right here and what has happened in the past. But He sees all of it, and He promises in His word that He weaves all of it together into this beautiful tapestry that is for our good. And so we learn in the midst of the waiting, if we're leaning into Him, if we're crying out to Him, if we're patiently waiting on Him, we learn to trust Him more and more and more in the entire process of it all. And again, it's to trust in his character, not that he is going to, you know, be this genie in the bottle that's going to pop out and just do things exactly the way we want him to do things, because he's not going to do that.
No.
And sometimes he will do that and we think, man, I shouldn't have prayed that, you know, because, sometimes he will give us the things that we ask for, even if we shouldn't have asked for them, you know.
Well, you know, I think about... ask, seek, and knock, as Jesus said, you know, those three words, ask and it'll be given to you, seek and you shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. And so those are words in the Greek that mean continual. Mm-hmm. Ask and keep asking, seek and keep seeking, knock and keep knocking. I remember hearing Damon Shook say one time, he was talking about prayer, and he said, prayer is not overcoming God's reluctance. It's getting in on God's willingness. But it's asking the Lord, saying, Lord, I'm praying from my perspective. I don't know what you're doing necessarily here, but I trust you, and so I want my prayers to be along with your will. So show me how to pray about this. Mm-hmm. Show me what you want to do. And as you said, Debbie, Romans 8:28, we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. So yesterday I had Dr. Mike Courtney on the program, and there was a point in time in his life 25 years ago where he thought everything was over. He had committed adultery for the third time as a pastor. And his wife left him, and his kids didn't want to have anything to do with him. He was in some flea bag motel because that's all he could afford. He was going to some counseling clinic to try and figure out, why do I keep destroying my life? And he did. And the Lord, and he was crying out to the Lord, and the Lord showed him that he loved him, and the Lord showed him that, I'm not done with you, Mike. And, you know, fast forward 25 years, and the guy has built, by God's grace, this practice of four clinics in the Middle Tennessee area. That is, he's helped thousands and thousands and thousands of people, and has restored his relationship with his wife and his kids. Hey, God can do as it says in Ephesians 3:20, now to him who is able to do exceeding abundantly beyond all that we ask or think according to the power that works within us, to him be the glory. But here's the thing with Mike Courtney and in your life, it doesn't happen overnight. It's going to take time. There's time to heal. Now, when God moves, when the things are right, when he's worked on the person, when he's worked on the place, when he's worked on the particulars, then he'll move quickly. But it takes time to work out those three P's, the person, the place, and the particulars.
Well, I think, too, in the middle of our waiting, God uses that to also show us some things that we run to for our answers instead of to him. You know, like maybe if you're going through a health crisis, your go-to is to run to medication, run to the doctor, to put all of your faith and trust in those things. And God uses those things. God uses doctors. He uses medication. And praise the Lord for doctors. Praise the Lord for people that have had the wisdom to create medications that can help in so many different ways. But ultimately, God is the one who does all of that. He uses those things as his tools. But in our waiting, we can learn, hey, man, I've really been putting... I wasn't even cognizant of it, but I've been putting my trust in things other than the Lord, mm-hmm. on my own ability to get out of this bind, in doctors to bring healing to my body, or whatever it may be. And I think that's another thing in the midst of the crying out, in the midst of the patience, in the midst of the trust, that we can really be revealed about our own hearts.
Well, you know, in the Christian life, every one of us has to bring ourselves before the Lord every day and say, you know, Psalm 139, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxious thoughts, and see if there be any hurtful way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. And as I said earlier, you know, we have to be soft clay in the hands of the Master. And we know that nothing comes into our lives. He doesn't allow anything to come in, just like with Job, that doesn't first filter through his fingers of love. God is very aware of the circumstances that you and I are facing today. And those things, he allowed them to come in. Now, with Job, he didn't do those things to Job, but Satan couldn't have done anything to Job had God not let down the hedge, had God not allowed that to come in. And he allowed it to come in for a purpose. And Job was not privy to chapters 1 and 2. He didn't know that God was having this conversation with Satan. He didn't know that he was going to be the subject of all these terrible things. He just said, and the key verse in the book of Job, though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. I'm going to trust God no matter what. It doesn't make sense to me why God would do this to somebody that loves him, that trusts him, that walks with him, that he'd allow these things to come into my life. And the things that came into his life were worse than the things that have come into really anybody outside of Jesus that have come into their life. I mean, when you lose everything in one day,
right,
including 10 children, that's devastating. And then your physical health is thrown to the dogs.
And don't forget his sweet little wife.
Well, yeah. The devil left her because she was going to be used by him, curse God and die, as she told Job. But and then to have that disfiguring disease with boils all over his body and swelling, and his friends didn't recognize him because he looked so different and he looked so miserable, and he's sitting in the ashes scraping himself with a broken piece of pottery. I mean, it is miserable, and it's like that not for a day or two but for months. And he learned that, hey, I can trust God no matter what.
Yeah, and that's just hard. There's just no way around that.
Yeah,
and I know that we've heard this so many times, and if we're being truly honest, we've probably all felt it at one time or another. But the statement about, hey, I just feel like God's punishing me, like, why is God doing why is God A, either doing this to me, or B, allowing this to be done to me,
right?
You know, and so there's those questions there, and that's just an honest response to bad situations, because that's often how we feel. But again, it goes back to, we can't trust how we feel. We've got to go back to the things that we know.
And I think you can be honest with God and say, God, I don't understand, and God, I'm hurting, and God, I need you, and please come to me and help me, because I feel like I'm drowning here. And I think that's just an honest cry of the heart. Well, you're listening to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here, along with my wife, Debbie. When we come back from the break, we'll be taking your calls, 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. If you have a question, a comment, a brief testimony that you can share to encourage somebody else, we would love to hear from you. So give us a call and let's talk. You've heard a lot about saving babies on this show. That's because it's important to me personally. And let me just be frank with you. We need to save them. That's why we've partnered with Preborn, the nation's leader in introducing mothers with unplanned pregnancies to their babies. And once she hears that heartbeat and sees that precious life growing inside of her, she is twice as likely to choose life. Now that's a miracle. But quite honestly, if we don't save them, who will? Preborn receives no government funding, so their work is completely dependent on you and me. Preborn has rescued over 280,000 babies. And that's not all. They provide love, support, and counseling for up to 2 years for free, saving lives and souls. One ultrasound is just $28, or 140 helps rescue 5 babies' lives. Abortion doesn't stop, so we can't either. Together, you and I can save lives. Just call #250 on your cell and say the keyword baby. That's 250 baby. Or go to preborn.com. That's preborn.com.
If you'd like to contact Pastor Jeff, email pastorjeff@fromhisheart.org. Now, back to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back. Pastor Jeff here, along with Debbie. We're talking about waiting on the Lord, in the waiting room with God. We've all been there. Perhaps you're there right now, and you're praying about something, and you just have not seen an answer to your prayer. You're tempted to quit. You're tempted to give up. Don't. I love the phrase that says, you know you're really called when you throw in the towel and God throws it back. You're not quitting. You can't quit. Quitting is not an option. Be faithful until death, Jesus said, and I will give you the crown of life. The reward is there.
Wasn't it Jerry Falwell that said, it's always too early to quit?
Yeah, that was a great statement and kind of a signature statement of Dr. Jerry Falwell Sr. It's always too early to quit. When you're thinking like that, just remember that statement. Hey, wherever I am, it's always too early to quit. I'm just going to keep trusting God and trust Him for another day. Don't look out into the future. Don't say, well, how am I going to, as Johnny Erickson, how am I going to live with quadriplegia? Do it one day at a time. Don't do it looking forward 10 years because that's overwhelming. So do it one day at a time. Well, the phone lines are open, 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. If you have a question, if you have a comment, if you have a brief testimony of how God ministered to you in the waiting room that can encourage someone else, please share that. Lots of times I'll have people tell me, they said, you know, I listened to your radio program and I loved it when so-and-so called in because what they said really ministered to me. And so we would love to hear from you. You know, Debbie, as we think about the waiting room, Mary and Martha had to wait on the Lord. They called for him to come. Lazarus, whom you love, is sick. And Jesus purposely didn't come right away.
2 days.
He waited.
Yeah.
And when he got there, Lazarus had been dead for 4 days. Mm-hmm. He's been in the tomb for 4 days. You missed the funeral, Jesus. You could have, if you had been here, as they both told him, Mary and Martha both told him this, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. And so why, the underlying question in that is, why didn't you come? Why did you let this happen? And Jesus had told him, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God would be glorified by it. We know the story. He raised Lazarus from the dead. It's a much greater miracle than if he had come and healed him from a sick bed. He raised him up from the tomb. And that caused many, many people to believe on the Lord.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that whole idea of just all of it being for God's glory. You know, and I remember back to the story of David and Goliath, and when David was going to go up to face Goliath, he didn't do it just so everyone would pat him on the back and say, oh, David, what a great guy you are. His statement was, this is going to happen today so that all will see that there is a God in Israel. Mm-hmm. And I think that's an important element, again, of some things that we learn when we're in the midst of our waiting, is that it's ultimately all about God's glory.
Amen. Amen. Well, we have Maggie on the line from Texas. Maggie, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Yes, thank you. Can you hear me okay, Jeff?
I can. Yes, go
good,
ahead.
Good. My phone's giving me a little trouble. Well, first of all, I wanted to wish Debbie a continued speedy recovery because, yes, we have had that thing here in Bryan, Texas. And I also wanted to ask her, and you, a belated happy birthday, Jeff.
Thank you.
But I wanted to ask, is she an Aggie from Texas A&M?
Yes.
Or... Oh, okay. Yes. Well, I graduated from Texas A&M. I live right next door to College Station. The two cities, BCS, Bryan College Station, yeah, are adjacent. Yeah, and I graduated from A&M. But listen, that virus with the cough and the fever and the need for antibiotics, I fortunately did not get it. But my son has had it he's just now recovering after a month of being sick. He actually got laid off from his job and everything, but he's better now, he says. But anyway, and another young man, my son's name is Nathaniel. I need prayer for him for his walk with the Lord. My gosh, really diligent prayer for him. His name means gift from God, and he strayed from the Lord if he ever was really with the Lord. And then another young man named Dylan that I've talked to, he had that virus, very sick. He had to get surgery on his throat. He got an infection from the sore throat and had to have surgery, yeah. And Dylan also needs really some prayer with his walk with the Lord. But listen, can I tell you, I'm going to try to sum it up really quickly. The worst thing I could have possibly imagined, because I don't sit around imagining bad things, but about 6-7 years ago, suddenly I was hit with back deterioration. I didn't know that my bones were not the low bone density, and it's since gotten worse. And I didn't know what to do, and I was really upset. I wouldn't talk to the Lord. I couldn't. And I had distrust that came to the surface. I couldn't deal with it. There was nobody to talk to. And it took me probably close to 2 years. And finally I said, okay, Lord, with what I have left, I'm just going to tell you, I'm going to stop. It came from reading the Psalms, really, and prayer. A couple of people praying for me, but I don't really have very close Christian contacts here. I just know a lot of people. Well, anyway, I said, Lord, I am not going to be holding you at a distance anymore. I'm just going to say, you show me what you want me to do with what I have left, and I will do it to the best of my ability with your help. And then I just kind of let it go. I thought, he's not going to heal me in this life, or if he is, it's not going to be now, because he sure hasn't. And so I just gave it to the Lord, and then he opened up this whole new ministry. I'm retired. And that Jesus is coming soon, totally based on the scriptures, no new revelations here, just my own discernment and revelation of the Holy Spirit regarding Matthew 25 and 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, and especially Luke 21, verse 36, that promise, you know, that if we persistently watch for Jesus and we pray always, then we will be counted worthy to escape the really bad stuff coming on the face of the earth. Luke 21, verse 36. So anyway, I have told that doing the cat rescue, when I'm out buying cat food, people come across my path. I do not go seek them out. They come, they want to help me because they see the handicap plate on my car. They see my walking stick and they want to help me. And a lot of times I'm like, well, I bought the smaller bags of cat food, so I should be okay. No, 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 I want to help you. And without exception, almost totally without exception, probably in excess of 1,800 people in the 3 years since the Lord showed me that, they listen, they say thank you, and two or three, maybe four or five of them have said, wow, am I ever glad I ran into you. I needed to hear that.
Amen.
So see what the Lord did with waiting.
Yeah.
See what he did. I'm not an evangelist. I'm not a great speaker or anything, but it's just, it's a whole new ministry, and I can't really travel now or anything, but
yeah.
I go feed the cats every night, and he helps me my every step. He protects me when I'm out late feeding the cats, and he brings these people across my path. So anyway,
yeah,
I hope that helps somebody.
Yeah, amen. Thank you, Maggie, for sharing that. Praise the Lord. God can use us if we just trust him, and if we take that step of faith and say, okay, Lord, here's the situation you've given me, kind of like here are the cards that I've been dealt. I'm going to trust you and use this for your glory. So God bless you. Thank you that you're doing that, and thank you for sharing that. We have Jim on the line from Arkansas. Jim, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Thank you, Jesus. I won't take a lot of time, but I felt like this needed to be said. In 1993, I lost my mother. In 1994, I lost my wife. In 1995, I lost a 15-year-old boy, and I wasn't a Christian. Some of his buddies came up. I didn't take my son to church, but some of his buddies came up a year or so later and said, Mr. Duggan, I don't know if you knew this or not, but we went to a revival, and Jeffrey gave his life to Christ. Let me tell you, I was a sinner, just like it said in Romans 5:8. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us because he loved us so much. 27 years ago, I gave my life to Christ. And I've been the happiest guy in the world because of Jesus Christ. Not because of me or others, but because of Jesus. He's with me every day of my life. And all I can tell you is, thank you, Jesus.
Amen. Amen. What a great testimony, Jim. Thank you for sharing that. And even in the midst of tremendous heartache and heartbreak and loss, the Lord says, I'll never leave you, never forsake you. And if God used that to bring you to faith in Jesus, then it was worth it. And 100 years from now, when we're all of us who know Jesus are in glory, we're going to say, every hurt, every tear, it was worth it because the Lord used it for good. Well, we have Sherry on the line from Illinois. Sherry, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Good morning. I just wanted to share with you a time where Jesus, the Holy Spirit, just revealed himself to me more and more, his gospel through the word. I was working at John Deere World headquarters in Moline, Illinois, on the 12th floor, and it was the end of the day. My mom called me on my cell phone. She usually doesn't do that, but my sister had been having some physical issues. My mother informed me that my sister was diagnosed with a malignant brain tumor, and it was certainly terminal. So I walked to the elevator, end of the day again, God's mercy. One person got on the elevator with me, and she wasn't a non-believer. She wasn't agnostic. She was a Christian. I had one tear running down my cheek. I knew the Lord enough to know that he was carrying me through this, and I needed his strength. That's all I had. The woman said, "Are you having a bad day?" I said, "I just found out my sister has a malignant brain tumor." And the woman looked straight forward, and she was prepared with his word, God's mercy again. She said, "For he was pierced for our transgressions, crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed." That is the only thing in the world, only thing in creation that could have given me any peace, and God provided. And the what Jesus did for me that I heard my whole life, the sacrificial lamb, he died for our sins. I knew it, but in a different way, he revealed to me as my Savior through all of that. All the what's that I've heard my whole life came flooding back into my heart, image after image after image, kind of like a pounding sound. And it was him revealing again that he is my Savior. And he's in this, and he's alive, and he's eternal.
Amen. Great testimony, Sherry. Thank you for sharing that. And man, that's just powerful. God bless you. Well, we have Charlotte on the line from Texas. Charlotte, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Thank you so much. I listen to you almost every day. Actually, you know my pastor. My pastor is Jeff Berger. He has also been my counselor. I'm calling to testify that the Lord can bring us through anything. I was a victim of something that your subject matter last week was about, but I buried it. I buried it. And nobody living knew that happened to me till about a year ago when it just washed over me. And the Lord, I praise his name, he, through the counseling of my pastor, has brought me through that. And if the Lord can do that for me, if you're out there, God can do that for you. He has brought me to a place of peace and a place of forgiveness. And my go-to verse, I have two songs. You mentioned the song. Mine is Still by Hillsong. Mm-hmm. But the Bible verse that gets me through is Psalm 63:7, because you are my help. I sing in the shadow of your wings. And I can't tell you how many times over trying to recover from this thing that happened to me after 50 years, that Bible verse, I have to curl up under the Lord's wings a lot of days.
Mm-hmm.
But he has brought me through, and I praise his name because I couldn't have survived otherwise. But I don't know how people make it without the Lord.
Yeah, I don't either. Well, thank you, Charlotte. Thank you for sharing that, and God bless you. I appreciate you calling in today. We have time for one more call. Larry in North Carolina. Larry, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Thank you, Pastor. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Yeah, your message this morning was on waiting for the Lord. And we have a situation in our family that's been going on for 2.5 years. My granddaughter was medically kidnapped by Children's Hospital. Child was turned over to CPS, Child Protective Services. And she was born with medical issues. And they overlooked those medical issues and took the child from us. My son has not seen his daughter in over 2 years.
Mm.
And now those medical issues have come to light, and we feel like she's going to be coming home soon. I just covet your prayers that my granddaughter will be able to be rescued from the hands of the government.
Yeah. What's her name, Larry? We just got a few more. Yeah. What's her first name?
Her name is Lexi Naomi.
Lexi. Okay. We'll pray for Lexi and that God would bring her home very, very soon. Well, thank you for listening to Real Truth for today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here along with my wife, Debbie. And listen, wait for the Lord. Be strong and let your heart take courage. Yes, wait for the Lord. And remember, your job is to be faithful, to trust Him, to shine, to share, and God will use you. God bless you.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.